You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
You're listening to Stage Door Podcast, the podcast celebrating theatre and creativity, from onstage mishaps to career-defining moments.
Hosted by thespians myself, Tori, and co-host Eliza, fortnightly we will bring you industry professional guests, deep dives, and more.
Welcome everyone to Season 5, Episode 2 of Stage Door Podcast. Today we are welcoming the ridiculously talented performer Jacob Steen. But before we get started, we would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation.
And the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, the traditional custodians of this land on which we work, live and record. And we recognise their continuing connection to land, water and community. We also acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded.
Jacob completed his first year of the Bachelor of Music Theatre program at the Victorian College of Arts and went on to make his professional music theatre debut in Mary Poppins the Musical for Michael Castle Group. After making his professional debut, he was a part of the ensemble for Moulin Rouge.
Currently, Jacob is performing as the beloved Fred in the hilarious and heartwarming production of Groundhog Day, with music and lyrics written by Aussie powerhouse Tim Minchin. The show has an exclusive 13-week season, playing now until the 7th of April in Melbourne's Princess Theatre. Please welcome to the mic, Jacob.
Hello! Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming here.
Of course. I'm so happy.
How have you been? You've been really busy, obviously, doing Groundhog Day. How's it all going?
It's been a lot. The tech rehearsal process. We've had like 2 weeks of like full-time teching. It's been a lot.
And you've opened. You've opened now.
We opened last week, Thursday and Friday. We had two openings. Because it was the second one was called Fopening.
Oh.
Because it was like Groundhog Day, the day repeats. So then...
Oh, I love that so much.
So we had the first day we had a band, like a marching band. And then the second day we had a band again. It was hilarious.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
I love that.
Yeah.
Marketing to a T.
I know. But they did a really good job. And it was just funny. And because the second of the second is Groundhog Day.
Oh my God, that's so smart.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. They really got the theatre booking perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nearly impossible these days.
Yeah.
Now, you actually got your professional debut in a very interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
Your entry to the professional environment was very different from others, and it started with an Instagram DM that turned into the start of your career. For those listening, can you tell us the story of how you ended up auditioning for Mary Poppins?
It was crazy because I was in first year at VCA. I was unrepresented. I didn't have anything like in that administrative area in my life going at the time. My understanding is that they'd put forward a version of like they'd cast the show and sent it off. It was in like lockdown as well in Melbourne. Yeah. So that was a huge long period. I remember as well during the Mary Poppins auditions, it was like the snap lockdown that night. And it was like a whole thing. I didn't audition the first time. I didn't know how to get there. No one was sending me any like audition briefs or anything. So it was not even on my radar at all. Yeah, I got a message. It was lockdown still, like just going by. And I got a message on Instagram from one of the people who worked for the production company. And at first I was like, oh my God, what like a crazy robot message to get in my requests. I was like, wow, this is
targeted bots.
Yeah. And then I checked the profile and then it was just like, hey, this is like such an unconventional way of contacting you. Oh, we just wanted to know if you'd be interested in auditioning. And I was like, oh yeah. I wasn't really I was just doing my classes online and that's it at home. So I was like, yeah, I've got free time like outside of that. They sent me a brief and this is where things are like very interesting. They were like, we want two Golden Age songs, one up-tempo, one slower. And then for the dance section, they were like, these are the ballet steps we want to see. And here's a cut of music. So can you just put something together?
Okay.
Which okay. I was like, yeah, I can do that. I was so green that I was like, yeah. I will do that.
Yeah.
And then I filmed it in the car park of a shopping center. Because we didn't have studios.
Yeah.
And my house was like not the place. It was not a house for dancing.
With your lounge room, your like couch there, just tripping over things.
I had like absolute radio silence as expected, like theater, how theater works. It's like silence. And then I got a response saying, hey, we loved your audition. It was like 8 weeks later, I think, or like 12 weeks, something huge.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah. And because we were still in lockdown, there was not a rush. And then, so they were like, we loved your audition. We're going to try and get you seen in person on Saturday. Like this week, I mean.
After 8 weeks silence, and you're like, oh yeah, I've forgotten everything. Like, I'm good.
Yeah, they were like, does Saturday work for you? And it was crazy because like, they had to pay us so that we like, were going to work so we could leave the house. Yeah.
What? I have what? Never no. heard of this.
Because we were in lockdown.
Yeah, because you had to be, mm-hmm. you had to have like an actual reason to be. Leaving the house.
Yes. Yeah. Which was like awesome. I was like, great, this is great yeah. that this can happen, especially in the arts.
I know. Can all the auditions be paid for? The amount yes. of hours you put into please. The auditions?
Yeah. And then so I got my right to work certificate as well, which oh. just for the audition. Yeah. Which was love great. That. I yeah. was like, okay, this is amazing that this can happen. And then I went in 10 a.m. I had to like, I was actually doing full voice warm ups on the train. And there weren't a lot of people, so that was okay. But there were people that were definitely leaving the carriage. Like, I wish
yeah.
I was joking. But I was like, this could be my one chance, you know?
Hey, it was. It was.
It worked. Yeah.
It worked.
And then I went in and did the... It was like 45-minute dance solo because of COVID. 45-minute dance audition and then 15-minute scene.
All by yourself. Damn. Like, and a dance audition by yourself. That is yeah. so unheard of.
I know.
That's kind of intimidating and crazy.
Actually, I didn't know the diff... Like, I didn't have anything to compare it to, really.
Right. You wouldn't have, like, yeah, you wouldn't have done, like, the big old cattle call dance calls where it's just, like, 50 people.
Yeah, I'd done one audition before that, which was, like, one professional audition, but I was, like... 17. It was for Hamilton and it was a lot. Like, I was so had no idea what was going on. I didn't.
Yeah.
When I found out you had to bring in sheet music, I was like, what?
No.
No, like, I brought
oh
it
my
in.
God.
But they were like, on the thing, they were like, bring in sheet music. I was like, what? For? Because I was just so, like, fresh. Like, I didn't have any idea about how it worked.
It's like those, you know, people have those auditions where they walk in and then they're asked to sing and they're like, oh, I was supposed to prepare something.
Yeah.
Sure, here's happy birthday.
Yeah, no, literally. And in my Mary Poppins audition, I don't know if everyone was, like, expecting this, but, like, when I got taught the choreography and then I danced and I was, like, waiting for the choreographer to walk over to like her phone or something, and then she was like, Jeff, can I just have it a bit under tempo? And then we danced to the piano, which was like, I've never danced to, like, I mean, it makes sense to like dance to live music, but I was like, on this scale, I was like, it's there are three of us here, surely just click play. But surprisingly it's easier for like someone to just play it, you know. And it was so... I was like... The only time I've danced in a live instrument was the one ballet exam that I did that was like pulling teeth.
Because you barely even started at VCA at that point. And the fact that you guys went into lockdown and then you're just thrusted into the professional world is so crazy.
But it's also... It is almost that thing of like ignorance is bliss. Like...
Yeah.
I
had
no idea. And then I remember walking out of the audition and the guy... Because they could only like stagger people in, so it was like one person at a time. Then he was walking past me and he was like this tall, like built guy, and I was like, fully, I had no idea. I was like, well, I'm definitely not gonna get it. I just had this feeling.
What was that like, getting thrust into the professional world just so fast?
Thinking about it now, I wasn't ready for it, but also I didn't know that I wasn't ready as well, because yeah. I was so like, let's go. I just wanted things to like happen.
And you were hungry too, like, especially I you just got into VCA, like that's really exciting, and then it's like, oh, it's happening already, like the mm-hmm. hunger and drive to want to mm-hmm. get it, and then you got it, you know.
And I did not see it happening that fast at all. I knew rejection was a part of it, Yeah. Of course. And like they always say, like, oh, it's a tough industry. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Save it for yourself. I didn't think it was going to happen so fast.
It's wild. And I mean, did you always want to be a performer growing up? Was that kind of what you trained for? Were you more like doing dance full time?
I mostly grew up doing dancing. I did two classes. I did like jazz and tap from like when I was 3 to like to when I was 13, and I more did basketball and tennis, and I was in scouts and stuff. So I did like a lot of different other things. I think that it got to a point where I was like, Mom, I kind of want to like do more dance classes. And she was like, well, financially, you're going to have to give up one of the other things. I was like, okay, I'll try.
Did you always sing as well? Or
No. So a lot of my singing stuff that I did at VCA was literally just undoing most of my like breathing.
We have to learn how to breathe first and then we can move on.
I was just so like frustrated.
Here we go again.
Yeah, but it all, like, having the perspective now of what I've learned and what I need to have to be able to do the job is, like, it's so clear from this point of view. I'm like, absolutely. That makes, like, so much sense why you need to learn how to do that. It's so interesting, the perspective.
Yeah, perspective's everything. And now you have perspective, I guess, as well.
When it became time to choose subjects for year 11 and 12, and I met with my careers counselor at the school I was going to, and I was like, oh yeah, I want to do like musicals. I couldn't even sing. Well, I could sing, but like not very well. What? No, like... I don't know. It was a weird thing. Like I could sing by myself.
Yeah, but not in front of others?
No. I never really did. I said to the careers counselor, I was like, I want to do musicals or like perform for my career. And she was like, that's really like hard to get into. Maybe you should think about, let's just plan for your second option. And I was like,
yeah.
Are you kidding? I was like, okay. I remember shutting down. And then I was like, my mum does osteopathy. I was like, I want to do osteopathy. And then like that term, I was like, Mum, how much are you paying for this school? Because I knew it was expensive. And it's like my mum's single mum. She was like, oh, like, I think it was like $27,000 a year or something. I was like, it's time to go, I think. And she was like, okay, great. And then so I just didn't go back to school for the rest of the term. And I had like a 6-week holiday, like midterm. And then I enrolled in this new school, much better. Everyone there was amazing. My sessions with the career counselor at that school was so different because she was like, it's going to be hard, but if you want to do it, try.
It's like the difference. You need to step it up because we need you to get there. Come on.
Like. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you're going to have to like really try.
Yeah. Like osteo or musical theater, you know?
And it was so weird coming from like this childhood background where I was like self-sabotage made me feel like I had control, and like trying hard at things was really difficult because I knew that I could like that whole thing that lots of people experience. So when it was like time to like, you're gonna actually have to like put everything into it for the whole career,
you can't just tap out.
I was like, oh, do I want to do that? But now like I've strengthened those muscles to be able to do that. So, yeah.
Have they ever come and seen you in the shows? Like anyone from high school?
I think that careers counselor did. I think I have her on Facebook and she's like been following along and like leaves comments, which is nice. Oh,
I love that.
I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah. It feels like time has gone like that.
I know.
From then to now.
I mean, it really has. You've done so much in the last couple of years since even finishing high school. You've just been working nonstop, which is fantastic.
I'm so lucky, but it's a weird thing because like I could have never foreseen what was going to happen. But then looking back, I'm like, oh, wow, all this stuff has happened since then. Yeah, it's weird.
I feel like it's absolutely the kind of industry where you just can't plan. You can't like map out like, cool, I'm going to go and do my master's and then I'm going to do this and then I'm going to get a job. And like, it's going to be like... great. Like some people, it is like years after they graduate. Some people don't go to university. Some people get pulled out of university because they book a job. It's so hard. And it's really hard, I think, as well for, you know, we live in a world where it is so based around planning. Like you need to plan like what your life is going to be like in 10 years. And we're just like, but we won't because we can't, because it's the career that we're in that you literally cannot plan. No matter how hard you try to, you literally cannot plan for it.
No, not literally. That's what one of the people on Mary Poppins who played Mrs. Corey, her name's Shireen, she was like, you can't plan ahead in this industry. Like, you can't look too far ahead either, because it's just like jobs come up like that.
They do though. Yeah. They do. Like, you'll have a month, like, I don't know, like January, nothing's happening. Then it's like, oh, hey, here, 5 auditions in 1 week. And then you're like, okay, cool, this is great. But there's such that roller coaster where you feel like, you know, some months when they are, like, you're not really doing much. You're like, oh, am I not good enough to do this? Or, you know, you have self-doubt and all those things. And then next minute something pops up and you go, oh, yeah, I can do this. And this is the right career for me. I mean, there's such a roller coaster within this career. You just don't know when something that suits you as well. Like, it's not based on talent. It's like, it is based on talent, but like, everyone's talented. Yeah. But when something suits you, it's like, it comes up and it's just you.
Yeah. It's such a weird experience. And it's hard to know if you're going to like it before you try. It's kind of those, because there's not really anything in life that replicates the extremes of it.
Kind of just gotta like throw yourself into it like full force for many years.
Yeah, there's people that I know that like own houses. For me at this point, like, if I don't work for a bit, it's like not gonna be the end of my life, or I'm not gonna be giving anything up. But those people who own multiple properties or who have multiple children, these jobs are like, livelihood is at stake.
It is.
It's different.
But I mean, you have such a positive and bright, and I think anyone that knows you or has seen you perform or has even just seen you online would agree. How do you maintain your mental health when facing what is a tough industry at times?
My experiences like with my mental health have been so subtle sometimes, it feels like. And especially like prolonged environments, you kind of get used to things that aren't necessarily a great way of being. It's more so like stress and anxiety. I experienced this first thing where like when I was performing, I was not emotionally nervous. I knew exactly what I was doing. Like, I knew my plot in the show, like easily. Like, I practice it all the time. But I was shaking. Like, I was shaking so much.
Yeah.
But I was like, what the f-? I was like, I'm not even nervous. Like, emotionally, I'm like, I'm so glad and stuff. But I was like, fully shaking.
No one really talks about like stage in a way that sense of like stage fright that you get. Like, even seasoned performers, when you know what you're doing, there's a sense of, wow, there are all these people out there. And you're like, it's like you're about to jump off a cliff, and then once you're over the cliff, you're completely fine. You're like, I'm enjoying life, like, love musical theater, life is good. But beforehand, like, you do get the jitters and the nerves and even your body taking over in ways that you don't anticipate.
And the stakes are so much higher in terms of like future employment or like people in the audience, casting people, or like people who are looking for dancers or singers or whatever, or whoever's casting the next show. It's like, when you think about it, it is like objectively horrifying.
Yeah.
Especially when you do have to consider those things like, how am I gonna, like, people with kids in the houses, like, this one performance could dictate what happens for my next 6 months. And it's just, there's just a lot of issues in like any workplace, like with eating and like being around athletic dancers and then like beauty. And it's just, I find that for me, like, being alone or like being away from that is like what can like have a focus that isn't including how I look or like all those things that I don't really need to care about.
Yeah, because I mean, there's so many, with all the shows you've done, there's just so many different types of people in all of them as well. Like, it's so fair that you would compare yourself to others, but having the grounded home life away from musical theater, because at the end of the day, you know, when you have a normal job, it becomes your job, and in a way you have to like step away from your job, which is a hard thing when it goes from being like your passion and your love to then work, but then it's work that you love, but you also have to like distance yourself from it when you are like, and switch off at times.
So hard. I think also spending time with people who don't have a drop of music theater in, and it's just like they couldn't comprehend how it works, which to me is like, I don't understand how they couldn't understand it. But like, being with those people and hearing about their life is like good, and like lets me know that there are other things beyond performing, which is like, it's a hard truth.
Yeah, no, hard. I have quite a few friends in my life, or just people in my life in general, who have nothing to do with the theatre world. They, like, I used to work at a bookstore. I remember I had one of them message me. She was like, hey, I just went on a date with a guy, and he kept reciting a musical to me. Should I be concerned? And I was like, well, I don't know. I was like, what was the musical? She was like, Six. And I was like, oh, no, that's fine. But yeah. I remember trying to explain to her. I was, like, freaking out about an audition. I was like, I don't know what to wear. Like, I think I want to sing this song, but, like, oh, maybe I should, like, switch it up and do this. And she was like, what's it for? And I explained what it was for. And she was like, it doesn't sound like a big deal to me. Just do whatever. And I was like...
Thank you. First perspective.
I was like, that's actually just the attitude that I need. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Nah, it is an interesting industry, but I think if you keep grounded, have good people around you, it does really help for those moments where you are nervous. Like, you can't really help all of those things, but having a good support system and also fun little rituals you do before the show just to get them out. Do you have one of those?
I have a breathing exercise that I do, like Wim Hof.
Oh!
So you do like 30 deep inhalations and exhalations for however long it takes, and then you breathe out all your air, and then you hold your breath for a minute, and then you breathe in for like a quick in-breath and hold that for 15 seconds. Then you do the same 30 things, 30 breaths deep and in and out. And then you hold your breath for a minute and a half. And then you do inhale for 15, like inhale, hold for 15. Then the 30 breaths. And then you do a minute and a half again. And it goes for like 11 minutes. And it just like calms your nervous system. Because it oxygenates your blood really quickly. And then like lets your brain know like, hey, we're fine. Like, don't worry about calling in any extra defense forces for today. Like, we've actually got the grounds covered. Yeah.
I love that. I do something similar for anxiety, but it doesn't take 11 minutes. It takes about 5 minutes. But it's the breathing. And also when you're focusing as well on, at least what I found for me, when I'm focusing on like the counting of like, okay, this is how long I'm holding for, this is how long I'm breathing for, it makes everything else just like you can't focus on anything else other than that. And then you're like, oh, I'm actually okay. Everything's actually fine.
Also, I have a quote by, have you heard of like Brené Brown?
No, yes. I haven't.
Oh.
I work in a bookstore.
You work at the bookstore.
A massive, a big self-development author, she is.
Ah, and she's like studied like shame and how it affects people. Yeah. Okay, yeah, this is the quote. So she talks about living your life in the arena and, like, the people who dare greatly or, like, want to live bravely and, like, full on. Like, the book is called Daring Greatly. Who want to live greatly are in the arena, like, on the floor, getting their asses kicked. That's the whole thing. Because she's like, when you sign up to live your life, like, with courage and, like, following your heart and loving like openly, there's bound to be rejection and hurt. That's just how it works. That's so like you're going to be in the arena getting your ass kicked whether you like it or not. Yeah. And so she talks about this thing. Okay, I've got the quote here. She says, if you are not in the arena getting your ass kicked on occasion, I'm not interested in or open to your feedback. There are a million cheap seats in the world today, filled with people who will never be brave with their own lives, but will spend every ounce of energy they have hurling advice and judgment at those of us trying to dare greatly. Their only contributions are criticism, cynicism, and fear-mongering. If you're criticizing from a place where you're not also putting yourself on the line, I'm not interested in your feedback.
I love that.
Yeah. So I think also learning to accept feedback is like is gonna benefit me.
Yeah.
Is like because there's so you will get feedback.
Yeah.
Like performing. Like and people won't care if you want to hear it or not because they will tell you.
Yeah. No. Yeah. The random mums and dads coming to stage door being like, it was okay. I could have used more of this or that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I'm like their opinions do not matter.
Yeah. And also I spent a lot of time with my dance captain on Mary Poppins. And he said something along the lines of like, don't accept advice from people who are not where you want to be. And I think that's like a huge thing because there are lots of people. It's bound to happen. We're so critical of everything.
Oh,
of everything.
Yeah, we are. We're so critical.
Yeah.
Oh, that's some really good advice. Yeah. Thank you. Of course. It's really good to talk about that stuff because sometimes like we don't get into the nitty gritty. And I think that's just like, some really good advice there for anyone who's performing or not even performing, just doing their own thing and like just go for it and, you know, let it, let the hate go off your back. You know, the only the people that you respect.
Yeah.
Okay, but on that note, we're actually going to move into a little bit of a game now. Okay. Just to spice things up.
Okay.
It's called This or That. So we're going to ask you this or that questions, basically something or something, and you have to choose which one you would prefer to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, starting off strong, we're going to have, would you play Mary Poppins or play Bert?
I think I would love to play Mary.
Yeah.
She just she's just got such a good track. Like, I feel like everyone just guides her around the stage like she's like an angel. I love that.
And the flying. Like, oh, come on, the flying.
And
at
her
the
dresses.
Oh, costumes.
All of them.
To die
she
for.
Always looks like Doom. Like, she just looks great.
Okay. Would you rather be cast in a well-known classic or be cast in a new original musical?
I think original. New original. Only because what I've learned with Groundhog Day, when things are newer, there's like actually opportunity for input from the actor or the performer.
Yeah.
Which I was so, which is something I hadn't experienced yet. Where, like being asked, like, what do you think? Like, where do you think you would go? Or like when I ask, oh, am I what number should I stand on? They're like, oh, we don't really know yet.
I love
and it's
that.
Just like, okay, we'll figure it out. And it's like collaborative.
So collaborative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, and I feel like an equal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To the director and like the choreographer. Absolutely. We feel like on the same level.
There's merit to both because I get like, I get having, you know, the prescribed, you know, the same as Broadway, that kind of thing, like getting to experience that. But then there is something so magical about new work or being in a part of a new development of that work or a new version of that work where it's so invigorating to get to like put your own stamp on it and actually not, I don't know, you get way more into it because you've had some sort of like creative choice in it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're like, that person down the line is going to make this choice and it might only be like one little thing, but that was because that's something that I did that inspired that.
Mm.
It's because of me.
So that would be my, that would be awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a fun one. Falling over on stage or forgetting your lines on stage?
Falling over.
Yeah.
I'd much prefer to fall over.
Yeah. I think I would too. I mean, I've done both. And both aren't fun, but I feel like the falling over was more like
I feel
funny.
Like falling over, you can like, it's so much easier to just like bounce back. You're just like, oh, and I'm
or
up.
Play
it's
it
fine.
Off as funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's all part of the scene.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. Much better.
I feel like forgetting lines lingers on you a little bit more than if you like fall over, you're just like, your brain is just immediately like, okay, what's the next thing? Whereas forgetting lines kind of just like sits with you just for a little bit longer.
That's so true.
It hurts.
Yeah. That's so true.
Cuts deep.
Okay. Buying a full price ticket to a show right when it opens or waiting a year with the possibility of getting a free ticket?
Oh. That's a really hard question.
I think from my position at the moment in my life, probably I would pay for a ticket. I'm getting paid from working in theatre so I can afford to put it back into it, you know?
Yeah.
But I also, like if I wasn't in a show, I'd probably be more likely to wait for a free ticket. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I feel that. Yeah. That makes sense.
I feel like it's also sometimes dependent on the show. Like sometimes there'll be things where I'm just like, oh, I want to see it before I want to experience it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to necessarily have like, look, I love Hadestown. It's one of my favorite musicals. I feel like I don't even need to see it anymore.
Right.
Like, I feel like I've seen everything
you know
that
so
happens.
Much. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard.
That's a hard question.
Yeah.
Okay, Larky, last question. Would you prefer to be serenaded vocally by Jeremy Jordan or Jordan Fisher?
I don't know who Jordan Fisher is.
You don't know who Jordan Fisher is?
Who's Jordan Fisher? I know who Jeremy Jordan is.
He's currently... Jordan Fisher is, like, Broadway, like, sweetheart right now. He was in Dear Evan Hansen. He's currently in Hadestown. He was in...
Okay, I think I know who... I don't...
Let me get
an image. Know.
Wait, let me get
yeah.
I think he was a Disney Channel kid.
Okay, wait. So, Serenaded by Jeremy Jordan or the other guy?
Or Jordan Fisher.
Okay. Yeah. Show me just... Can you show me a picture of Jordan? Jordan Fisher.
Yeah, I will. Okay. Look at my very smash phone.
I have no idea who that man is.
No. Okay, well, that's fine because after this, you're going to be like, yes, Jordan Fisher.
Maybe. But for the...
I mean, he's currently Orpheus in Hadestown.
Right. I'd probably go with Jeremy Jordan because I know who that is.
Yeah.
Good decision. Also, it is Jeremy Jordan.
Yeah. And it's like... Jeremy Jordan. Yeah. What would he sing, though?
Santa Fe.
He would sing that song?
Well... I feel like Santa Fe, or I don't know. I feel like something from the last 5 years as well would go off.
Honestly, anything.
I'd want him to sing that Shania Twain song.
Which one?
The one about you're the only one I run to. What's that one? It's like you're the only one.
You're still the one.
That's the one. I want him to sing that song.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
That would actually make me tear up.
Jeremy Jordan, if you're listening, can we please get you to sing? I've already immediately forgotten the name of the song, but that Shania Twain song.
But does he have Cameo?
Oh, does he have Cameo?
I don't think he does.
That would
surely
be
it's
so
a tax
good.
Deduction.
Yeah, it is.
Surely
right?
It's a tax deduction. Yeah.
Come on now, you're getting some notes on the profession. So like, That's so good.
He does have Cameo, but it's not available right now. That's so sad.
Jeremy
Who
Jordan.
Takes a break?
How dare you?
How dare he be currently working on a new Broadway show?
It takes like 5 minutes to do a cameo.
Literally.
Come on.
Oh, anyway. Too good. Thank you so much for playing that game. That was super fun. Now, you are currently playing the hilarious role of Fred in Groundhog Day. What has been your favorite part about taking on the role?
What I've loved about it is that, like, stepping up into, like, a featured ensemble part.
Yeah.
I'm still in the process of figuring out where I sit in, like, casts. And I'm so... Like, I've got my whole career ahead of me, whatever. But, like, I wasn't necessarily, like, a confident performer growing up. And I still am not. I don't know. Like, I think I can make it look like I am on stage. Like,
clearly.
It look like I'm confident. Yeah. I look confident, but even when I'm not. So, like, I feel like this... was like such a good step in terms of like taking on more responsibility and like having more freedom to kind of be somebody that people might actually remember walking away versus like it's kind of that thing again with like the cheap seats, like being in an ensemble where you don't speak or sing by yourself, you can kind of just go about the show. Whereas like when there are bits where you're like, oh yeah, I have to be ready for that cue or this moment, or like now if I'm speaking and singing by myself in bits, I might actually have to look after myself in a different way than I have before.
Yeah, that makes sense actually. It's a huge and exciting thing to be able to like step into a role. And it's such a good role too. It's so funny.
Oh my god.
It's so fun. It's fabulous.
It's so fun to do. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And it's what I think I've learned about it is like in terms of auditioning on a whole is like when you do material that is meant for you, it just feels so much easier than like having to push yourself into a role that is not for you. For this, I was like, it felt like I was just being myself. In a way.
Yeah.
With an accent. Yeah.
With an American accent.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so good.
And so obviously, yeah. Andy Carl has been brought all the way over from Broadway to play Phil Connors. Mm-hmm. What has it been like working with one of the original Broadway cast members of the show?
Well, honestly, it was intimidating for me at first because I was like, what do we have in common?
Yeah.
But like, yeah. We are both people in musical theatre, which is a niche thing, so yeah. That's what we have in common. But like, it has just been so interesting seeing him when he knows the show so well that there's like this freedom that spans like so wide. Within like seconds, he can like tailor the next line to whatever the audience is giving him, sort of
yeah,
thing.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah. So he kind of knows how things land. Yeah. And then I think like Tim Minchin was saying that the Australian audiences just get every joke. Like they get every joke.
Oh, stop.
Whereas like having British audiences and then American audiences, there's just like bits that like aren't funny, which is like in those groups. But yeah.
So they're finding it really successful. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, there's been like, it's very vocal. Like there's always audible responses in most scenes. In almost everything.
That's fantastic. It's so cool to like look at and also like to learn from everyone else too, because you're definitely like a sponge at that point as well. Like you're taking on something new yourself, but also going, oh, like there's someone from a different country that we get to kind of see perform, because we watch our own performers all the time, but seeing someone else be able to like take charge like that and breathe like that, because I think there's a lot of stress also, like you're in the first week of a brand new show, you've only been rehearsing it for so long, you're still very much in the like fight or flight, like we've got this, I've got this, I can do this kind of thing. But he's just like, ah, yeah, I'm good, like let me breathe with the audience. It's really cool to see that transition.
Yeah, and I guess it's like also a bit like the vibe like trickles down from like the top, and so like having him who's like what appears to be comfortable and like knows what's going on and knows how everything works, it kind of like settles the rest of the cast in a way that I think makes it feel like if he's okay, then we will be okay.
That's beautiful.
That's so good.
And I think what's been interesting about this, like talking back to like the audience being vocal and stuff, at the beginning of the show, like everyone is so quiet because they have to listen so closely, which has been a new experience. Whereas like with Mary Poppins, like everyone kind of knows, people who are going kind of know the tale. Whereas this, they are all like taking it in before they can laugh or whatever. Yeah. So that's been interesting.
That's really different.
Yeah.
It's so cool though. It's a fun show to get to do, because it's not like a typical show that Australia gets to have.
Yeah. It's not one that I ever imagined would have come to it. Like, I love that it did, because we want and we need more new works in Australia, whether they be pre-existing works from overseas or new Australian works. We love our like revivals, but we also love something fresh.
Absolutely. Especially like Tim Minchin's work is like awesome.
So it's good.
So amazing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess like the lucky last question for today is, for anyone listening, can you give us three words to describe what the audience might expect from coming to see Groundhog Day?
Okay. So I've got three words.
I love it.
The first word is invested.
Ooh.
The second word is seismic.
Seismic.
Yeah. Great. And then this last word is like with a hyphen. Piss yourself.
I love that.
Yeah. It's so full on. I love it.
Oh, I'm so excited to see it. I'm seeing it next week sometime.
Okay. I'll see you
there.
I know
you'll see me there, which I'm very, very excited. Mm-hmm. Now, before we go, we love to do something called a stage mishap or a stage story. So have you got a little mishap for us that's gone wrong on any of the shows you've been in? Could also be Groundhog Day.
It was my first performance in Moulin Rouge. It was in the opening. So bad. And then I'm like so hyped on adrenaline because one, we enter through front of house, which is like, it's so scary, but like exciting, but so scary. Yeah. It's like my first performance and I'm like, my instrument that I was holding, I was one of the brass.
Oh, called? Yes.
The horns. One of the horns, yes. They're called. And I had a trumpet. And we end Burning Down the House, one of the songs to introduce Christian and Santiago and Lautrec. And I finish on the passerelle, which is like the stage that goes out.
Yes.
And so I'm holding my trumpet like this. And then I just can remember the choreographer saying, okay, and once the applause is over, just run off, like up onto stage, just because you've got people behind you, like the other horn boys follow me, and then like a scene happens on the passerelle, so I need to clear. And I get up as fast as I can, and I fully whack this lady in the can seat, in the back of her head. Like full on, like it was bad, and I ran up onto stage, and then I'm like, I go into this like slow motion walk while the scene's happening, and I was like, oh my god, what has just happened? And then that scene ends, like we all come to the front of the stage and we like do this slow bow and stuff, and I can like, and the can seat's like the front of the stage. And I'm like, I just... There. And it's the top of the show. And I'm like, and okay, your first so this show. Is how it's going to go. My first show first with show. An audience.
Oh
I hit a lady in the head with a trumpet.
Are you just like bowing in front of her as well? Like,
I'm like sorry. I just couldn't look at her the whole time. And I didn't want to check if she'd like left or anything. I felt so bad.
Oh yeah. My god.
It was like concussion level struck.
I shouldn't be laughing, but it's really...
With a bang, like oh my god, it was terrible.
I feel like it's one of the rare shows where there is opportunity to possibly hurt an audience member because they're right there.
I wasn't expecting that. Oh my god.
I would have done the same. I would have been like, I can't look at you. I can't. I'm so sorry.
Literally, I had to tell front of house that I was like, if someone like. Might need medical attention.
Just clobber them over the side of the head.
Literally, fully.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for that story. Yeah. That was fantastic.
That's okay.
That's one of my favorites we've ever had.
For sharing that with us. And for those listening, don't worry. There is less possibility to get smacked over the head with a brass instrument in Groundhog Day. But our interview for today has sadly come to an end. But before we go, give yourself and Groundhog Day a little bit of a plug. Tell us what's going on.
So we will only be playing in Melbourne at the Princess Theatre. Tickets are available on groundhogday.com.au. We are performing it until Sunday, the 7th of April. And then like... We have Instagram, Groundhog Day AU on Instagram and Facebook.
And plug yourself. Yeah. Plug yourself. Where can we find you?
Oh, my Instagram is Jacob Steen, STEEN, with an extra N because...
It was taken.
It's the Instagram. Other one's taken. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're the better Steen, so it's fine.
Follow me. Yeah. I've been messaging that account like for years.
Be like, saying, please deactivate.
Like, could you like change or something?
Can I have it?
But it's fine.
I need it.
It's fine. There are bigger problems in the world. But yes.
I love it.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being on today. It's been such a pleasure getting to chat more with you and have you on. Best of luck, big chookers, for the rest of the season. We can't wait to keep following your journey.
Yes. Oh my gosh, thanks for having me.
No worries.
Thank you so much. But you guys, until next time, stay happy, healthy, and safe, and we will see you then.
Bye.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.